Friends, we're beginning a new series of sermons entitled You're Invited. You're Invited, and we're looking at that for about 5 weeks. It'll culminate on 5 weeks from now, and I can't think of the date, but on that day we'll be invited, I think October 20, we'll be invited to invite someone else to a worship service. So just keep that in the back of your mind for now. Bring a friend Sunday, if you will, or bring a neighbor on October 20. I think that's the date. But you're invited. I invite you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. And also we're looking at Luke chapter 14 as well. Luke chapter 14. So you could have your finger in that passage as well, Luke 14, just three verses there, 12 through 14. But Ezekiel 34, 1 through 15, page 1235. And we're just going to read that in a moment. So be ready. Beloved in Christ, I hold in my hand what I think is an invitation. I've had it for a little while. It's very fancy. Oh, is it fancy? The writing, the font is very fancy, so it must be from someone famous. I wonder who may have given this invitation to me. But wait, oh, it is not addressed to me, though. I just noticed that it's not addressed to me. It's addressed to, well, maybe I should have the person it's addressed to come up here and see this invitation close up. What do you think? So, would you help me with that, Miss Henley Feirich? Miss Henley Feirich, are you here today? Are you here? And could you help me come up? Or could you come up and help me? I know you're nervous. That's okay. So am I. All right. Look at this invitation. Look at that. Is that fancy writing? Yeah. Is it you? Is that addressed to you? What does it say? What does that say? You gonna say it? No? Should I say it instead? Okay. It says, Miss Henley Feirich. Is that where you live? Yeah. Oh, look at that. On a street called Collingwood, right? In a place called Wyoming, Michigan. Is that right? Do you live in Wyoming, Michigan? Is that your zip code? 49519. You don't know? Okay. Well, you're going to know eventually. Okay. But that's what it looks like. Yeah, that's your address, too. I'm sure glad that's the right address we got on there, so they know who your address is. But now, should I give this to you and see what's in it? What do you think? I'm not going to do that yet, okay? Do you know why? Because don't you, when you get a letter like this, don't you really want to know, well, it's of course who it's for, but don't you want to know who sent it? By whom, right? By whom? Who sent it to you, right? So usually there is something called a return address, right? And on the return address, it's for just in case it doesn't get to you. So it goes back to the post office, and then, oh, they have to send it back to the person who sent it. It's a return to sender address unknown, okay? And so they need another address on it to say who it came from. And sometimes it's on the back, but I think, oh, my hand is in the way. So let's look at that. Do you know what this says? I'm not going to ask you to read it because I know you won't. Should I read it? Should we tell them what it is? The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Do you know what that is? That's Jesus, right? Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And look at this. Streets of gold. Streets of gold. And then the city, heaven. Oh, now am I fooling around? Of course, right? This isn't really from Jesus, right? The Good Shepherd. But I put that on there, okay? So we know who sent this to you. Pretend, right? We know who sent this to you. Now, would you like to see what's inside? Okay, let's do that, okay? You can pull it out. I'll open it up. Okay, and then you pull that out of there. Okay, oh, it's dated. Look at that, 9/22/2024. What does that say? Oh, you're not going to say it again, that's right. Okay. Dear Henley, you are cordially invited to leave your seat and head up to the pulpit area to talk with Pastor Raj. How did he know, right? It's kind of fooling around, isn't it? Oh, sincerely, the Good Shepherd. Wow. And you came up here even before you got the invitation. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for helping me and for talking with me, okay? Yeah, I appreciate that. So you may take this, and you can hang on to that if you want. Okay, I don't need it back. But you can head back. Thanks for helping. Give her a hand, okay? Thank you so much, Henley. That was helpful. I appreciate it. But isn't that how it works, friends? You get a letter in a mailbox, and if you live with a couple more people, a couple or more other people, you want to see right off the bat if that letter's for you. But of course, maybe most of all, you want to see who it's from. You want to see by whom it was sent. Well, in the two passages we're going to read now, we're going to see that God, of course, is the great inviter. God is the great inviter. We have an inviting God, dear friends, an inviting God. By whom? And the answer is by God. So Ezekiel 34, 1 through 16. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 16. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no more longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Then to Luke 14, three verses there. Luke 14, page 1488. 12 through 14 of Luke 14. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, first of all, what's happening here in the Ezekiel passage? Well, the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, Israel's God, is having some problems with his under-shepherds. Have you heard of that term before? If God is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, then he also has these under-shepherds, shepherds who are under him, who do some work for him. And back in the Old Testament, these under-shepherds were the kings, priests, and prophets of Israel, all the top dogs, so to speak, anointed, ordained, chosen to lead the people of Israel. They each had their own specific tasks. The kings protected, defended the people, did the political stuff, made sure there was running water, nice interstates, and they were in charge of homeland security. The priests offered sacrifices for the sins of the people, prayed for the people, looked out for the spiritual well-being of the people, and the prophets were spokespersons for God to the people. They spoke on God's behalf. These were all under-shepherds, all under the chief shepherd, the Lord God himself. The under-shepherds were supposed to ensure the overall well-being of God's people, Israel. They were anointed to keep God's people living holy and righteous lives before their holy and righteous God. They were anointed to rule justly and graciously. These were the under-shepherds, but there were problems. You picked that up, I'm hoping. These under-shepherds got too big for their britches and repeatedly took advantage of the people. They let the widows suffer. They let the poor starve. Verse 4 says this about them: you've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. That's a strong word. They treated their own people with brutality. So the flock, the people are being scattered, not staying a flock anymore. And the wild animals, figuratively, are coming in and taking them away. In other words, foreign pagan nations are swooping in and leading the people astray, turning them from a people who love their God to a people who are apart from their God, who forget about their God. Now, some of you know Ezekiel wrote his book during Israel's time when they were exiled. First third of the book is about how the judgment of being sent into exile is going to happen if Israel's leaders don't clean up Israel's act. And the second third of the book is about how those pagan nations will be judged who swoop down and do take away God's people and drag them off into exile. And the last third of the book is a word of hope and consolation for Israel, and where we read is in the last third of the book, the hope and consolation part. And God says here, I've had it with these under-shepherds. My flock is suffering because of them. I'm going to take drastic measures. Here is your hope. Here is your consolation. I myself am going to go searching for my flock. I am. I'm taking care of it myself. Wouldn't you love to hear that? You're struggling with a huge problem in your life. So-and-so comes to help. He makes it worse. Three more so-and-sos come around who have a solution. They're sure. They blow it too. And you're sinking fast. But all of a sudden, God, Almighty, Sovereign Lord, the Good Shepherd says to you, I am going to take care of it. I am. That's what God's doing here. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I'll look after, rescue, bring them out, gather them, bring them in, pasture them, tend them, have them lie down, search the lost, find the strays, bind the injured, strengthen the weak. I'll shepherd the flock with justice as it was always meant to be shepherded. He says, I'll do it. But he says, the first thing I'm going to do, verse 11, is search. Search them out. Track them down. You ever get one of those phone calls or emails from a reunion committee? And this is before the invitations even go out. They're asking the classmates whose whereabouts they know if they happen to know where former classmate John Smith is living now. Do you happen to have his address? We're searching for him, trying to track him down, because for this upcoming 25th high school reunion, well, maybe a little more than 25, but we want to send him a what? An invitation. But here, it's God searching, tracking them down, finding them to invite them. This is the word of hope for all whom the Lord our God will call. Our God is a searcher, a tracker. He goes out tracking, finding the tracks of little people like you and me, hunts us down so he can invite us. That's the first point this morning. God tracks you down. God does, and he can do it when his under-shepherds are doing their job, and he can do it when they're not. God is the great inviter. He tracks us down, searches for us to get into his flock, into relationship with him. Even when the under-shepherds got it right, of course, the credit always goes to God. He tracks his people down. So you have to ask yourself, if God, the creator of the world and you, if the Almighty God is tracking you down to give you an invite, he's the by whom, it's God giving that invitation, are you going to accept it? Now, who does God track down? God tracks down people like you and me. That's why we're here. God tracked us down. But look closer. Just who is getting invited here again? Ezekiel says he's going after people who are scattered on a day of cloud and darkness. Ezekiel says the good shepherd is searching for the lost, the straying, the injured, the weak. The Gospel of Luke says that the ones who are supposed to get the invitations are the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Are you sure that's you? Are we the scattered, lost, straying, injured, weak, poor, crippled, lame, and blind? Well, the Bible passages really help us remember some important things. They help us remember that though we don't like to think it's true, we can build up little kingdoms around us, and we can look the picture of health, and we can dress really nicely. We can take care of ourselves. We truly do look like what is described in the Word of God. And we not only look like it, we are what is described in the Word of God. We are the lost, the weak, the poor, the crippled, and we all need to be found by the Good Shepherd. Anyone, listen, anyone who has been affected by sin in this world, anyone who has done wrong ever in this world, and friends, that is all of us, all affected by sin, we all do wrong. We throw it in God's face. Anyone who's a sinner and done wrong, every last one of us is lost, needs to be found, is weak, needs to be strengthened, is injured, needs to be healed. You can look the best, feel the best, have the best, be the best. You'll still be lost if you don't get your invitation from the Good Shepherd. He searches and tracks you down. Now, that's an important thing that these passages help us understand. I was lost. I was weak. I was injured until God tracked me down. And I can say, I grew up knowing God. There's never a time when I didn't think I was a Christian. I was lost. I was tracked down. I looked exactly like anyone else who is currently lost, weak, and injured. You've been tracked down and found and invited and pulled in, but before you were, you looked just like somebody today who is injured, lost, and weak. And he or she is just like you. You can think of the best, the most popular, the prettiest, the wealthiest, and you can hold them up to the light of this passage, and they're just like you, lost, in need of being found. And you can think of someone who's crippled and scattered and weak and poor and injured and lame and blind, and you hold them up to the light of this passage, and you're just like them. And they're just like you, lost, in need of being found. So at one and the same time, the passage teaches us that even people who look like they've got it all together, the kind of people you'd like to gravitate towards, the passage teaches us that deep down, because of sin, they're lost and in need of being found. And the passage teaches us that the people who don't have it all together at all, the kind of people who society sort of frowns upon, the homeless, the poor, the crippled, the kind of people you sort of want to stay away from, the passage teaches that deep down, because of sin, they are just like us. They are lost and in need of being found. And so are we. So what does that tell us? It tells us the Good Shepherd searches for all kinds of people. People who look a lot like you and people who don't. The passage tells us it doesn't matter to the shepherd what they look like. They're all really the same inside. Sinners needing a Savior. The shepherd, the Good Shepherd, is tracking down those who are lost, no matter what they look like on the outside. God, in other words, says as the Good Shepherd, I have a wide-seeking love. I do. And so must we. And that's the second point today, that God tracks down people just like you. They may or may not look just like you, but they still are just like you. And of course, that leads us right into something else. If you notice in the Luke passage, remember where that was, Luke 14, verse 12, it says, then Jesus said to his host, wait a minute, I thought Jesus, the Good Shepherd, God, was the host. Well, here he's a guest. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is here eating at the house of a prominent Pharisee, a prominent teacher of the law, huh? And he's the guest. Jesus did that a lot. Well, he didn't have a place to hang his hat, so he was the guest at people's houses all the time. But it seems that Jesus many times managed to become the host too, didn't he? Like here, all of a sudden, Jesus has the floor, and he starts talking about proper invitation etiquette. He starts talking like a host. In his role as a guest, he tells a parable about how to be a proper host. He's both guest and host in this narrative. But guess what? So are we. Aren't we? Here's the truth. The only way you and I can be proper hosts who do their job right for the glory of God is if we understand that before we got the host job, we were nothing but invitees. We were lost and got found. We got invited by God himself through no merit of our own. We got invited by God, by grace, to whatever God has in mind for us. We were the invitees. We got tracked down by this shepherd as we were lost and scattered and stuck in the mud and injured and weak. And the Good Shepherd invited us to something so much better. But knowing that, you see, puts us into a position, a wonderful position, to now be a host, an under-host, if you will, an under-shepherd who understands what it means to be rescued, so that now we can bring an invite from the Good Shepherd who will do the same for someone else that he did for us. And that's the third point. When you understand what it means that you were tracked down in your sin and invited by the Good Shepherd, only then do you make a good host. And it gets better. The Luke text says, if you're a good host, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This must really be something that we're invited to, huh? And so we close now. God has an invitation with your name on it and his return address on it. He's the by whom. I'm invited by whom? By God himself. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? Did you hear that? God has an invitation with your name on it for you, and his name and address are on the return label. Every last one of us. We were all lost. We all had to be tracked down. We all had to be invited, and there was nothing special about us that got us that invitation. It was all by the grace of God, a gift. You got an invitation. I got an invitation. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it because you and I were lost in our sin. But you know what? God may also have an invitation for you that doesn't have your name on it. Same return address, but different addressee. Maybe he's holding that other invitation out to you today for you to take from him and to bring to someone else, to offer it on behalf of the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Who might that be? A neighbor? A classmate? A friend? A family member, a fellow employee, who might it be? Remember, every last person we just mentioned, neighbor, classmate, friend, family member, fellow employee, is just like you. No matter what they look like, you were in need of a God who tracked you down and invited you. You were lost, now you're found. You were astray, now you're home. You were injured, now you're healed. They're no different. We just got invited a little earlier. But the good shepherd, it's a good thing, is staying up late, working overtime. He's out tracking, searching, and perhaps we can play a small part in his overtime work. One more thing, most importantly. You know that invitation, the one you received, the one maybe God has giving you to give away. Everyone's invitation, you know what it's filled out with, you do. What it's signed with. Now, Miss Henley's invitation to come up here was filled out with purple ink and a fancy font. But God's real invitation, it's filled out with, it's signed with, the blood of Jesus Christ. With the blood he shed on the cross to pay for your sins. That invitation, it's good, it's real, and it's drawn up in blood. And that makes it a priceless gift for each one of us to receive. And a priceless gift for each one of us to have a hand in sending out. A priceless, gracious gift. By whom? By Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, it's nothing we didn't know. That you invited us in, tracked us, searched us, pulled us right in. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, you said, I'm saving you. Thank you for doing that. Remind us again today, though, that there was nothing special we did to warrant that invitation. No way that we earned it. No way that we had it coming because, I mean, look who we are. No. We're all the same. Every last one of us a sinner who throws sin in God's face. And still, by his grace, God invited us in, tracked us, pulled us in. And thank you that that also becomes now the way we see others. They're just like us, same as us, stuck in their sin, needing to be tracked down, just like we did. And thank you that as you do that, Good Shepherd, you invite us to be part of that invitation to them. You invite us to offer what you have, what you have given us, to someone else. Help us to be a part of you doing that in some small way. Help us to be praying about that in these weeks ahead. Praying about offering that invitation to worship here, to find out more, to find out who truly is the one who saves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.